So big news, bad news. PlayStation just announced that it's ending physical games. Oh my goodness. And we have to ask ourselves the question, is Nintendo next? And you have a look of pure fear and sadness on your face as Mr. Physical. So maybe this is a therapeutic session for you as well to talk about this.
My days as Mr. Physical may be numbered.
Oh, no.
The news is indeed big and bad. And it's interesting because we had actually been talking about doing a video like this a couple days ago.
Yes.
Based off of Grand Theft Auto 6 being a code in a box. It's like, oh boy, this sure seems like a sign of the times.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What are the next dominoes to fall after this? And then we get this.
Yeah, it's not
like
a domino.
Sledgehammer to
just
the head.
Just drop the big giant rock on
all of this.
Kill it all.
Does make you wonder what did Rockstar know about PlayStation's plans being all buddy-buddy with this game. But anyways,
right.
Yeah, let's just take a quick look at what is actually happening. So they're ending physical disc production for games on PlayStation consoles in January 2028. So it's not an immediate thing, but we have a date. And here is the statement that Sony put out. This is a natural direction for Sony Interactive Entertainment to adapt to consumer trends as the general preference for digital media significantly outpaces physical discs. This transition will enable us to align more closely with how most of our community prefers to access and play games today. We'll continue to prioritize our resources to drive innovation in how players can access games and provide choices as to where players prefer to purchase new games, whether that's at retailers or PlayStation Store. We remain committed to delivering a world-class gaming experience to our fans, and we thank you for your continued support, yada, yada, yada. Okay.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, it's interesting because when you look at data and you look at like the sort of the black and white of it all, it is true that a lot of the game sales that on a PS5 are already digital. I myself have a digital only PS5.
Yeah.
85% of games, there's a data point that you threw in here, is digital. The sales are digital. So it is a smaller percentage of players that prefer physical. But I think what they fail to acknowledge here is that there is sort of this like emotional collector's mentality around physical games that is very different than like, I just want to get a game to play it. It's like, no, I want to collect this thing and remember a time when I bought this game and collected it, and now it's like, you know, I can see it in my house or whatever. They kind of forgot about that part of it. Even in the statement, they're very like black and white in terms of like, well, the data says that you guys aren't buying
them. I agree. The statement is very cold, very clinical. It's like, well, ChatGPT said we should do this. So
right.
Guess what?
It's
we're
like,
doing
the
it.
The data said.
This is the wrong group of people to have this kind of a statement for. Like we are passionate. We're emotional.
Exactly.
We're irrational about this.
Right. Like, yes.
You can't just throw out some stat and be like, well, it is what it is, buddy. See you around. That's that does not work.
No, it doesn't. Because this, again, if you're looking at it from the perspective of like the data says this is true, that is in fact true. But that's not why people buy physical games. And they've
data
totally
says you can kiss my butt.
They totally failed to
on that.
Acknowledge that.
I
exactly,
ran the numbers.
No. That's what I'm saying. People don't have a very logical response to it. They have a very emotional collector's like response to it versus like, well, 85% of people are buying it anyway, so why not? You know? So that's just a weird
way of
looking
at it. Yeah, it does kind of speak to like, it's, you know, this is a great example of it, but it does just feel like a lot of gaming companies today are just so driven by the bottom line and are willing to do anything.
Yeah.
To boost a profit margin, to boost some, you know, shareholder result. And it's like, well, we're the customers who are actually driving the business. And you actually don't seem very interested in having a relationship with us at all.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that the industry has changed significantly and the cost of making games is, you know, so much more expensive. That's also other facts and figures. Like it just, you know, from the perspective of like what it was years and years ago when we first started this medium, like it's just different and expensive. And you know, of course, they're wanting to recoup their losses and the investment that they're putting into making these giant games. So from a business perspective, again, from a very cold, clinical, corporate business perspective, you kind of have to acknowledge that as well. But
I didn't tell them to spend $1 billion on a game. Though. Like a lot of this stuff, a lot of these issues they're facing now, it's like you probably could have seen that coming.
Right.
And
right.
I don't know in what world you thought the path you were going down was sustainable, but now you have to do things like this. Now we have to deal with the repercussions.
Right.
And just a lot of people are just kind of bummed out about where things are heading, it feels.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, you know, your point about this relationship with your customer, with your fan is so important because like on the surface, this feels like a corporate no-brainer. It's like, well, 85% of people are just buying digital. We make a ton more money off of these digital games. Who cares about the 25%? You know, that seems very like clinically logical, but then you do sacrifice this long-term relationship that you could be building with your customer. And eventually that's going to come back to bite you. Like that 25% that you basically rejected and told them to buzz off and that you don't care about them, that will come back to bite you.
What if Sony's sales went down by 25%? Like they make it sound like, oh, it's like, oh, well, or you know, 15% even, you know, they have this number here, 85% were digital games. It's like, well, that sounds like a lot, but flip it around the other way. What if you lost that 15%? Mm-hmm. That would be a pretty bad outcome. And I don't think yeah. every single one of those 15% is going to be like, I'm done. I'm out.
Yeah.
But I do think some people will look for alternatives. And again, mm-hmm. it just leaves a bad taste in yes, everybody's exactly. mouth. And it's like, look, at PlayStation has become one of the best brands over, you know, 3+ decades because they do things that make people love them, not because of things like this.
Yeah, it's totally against the idea of like, you know, of supporting your most passionate fan base, because that's who these people are. It's like this is the person that's going to drop a lot of money on a physical collector's edition. Like these are the people that are your most passionate fans, and you basically just told them that they're not important to you.
Yeah, and I mean, there were a lot of people,
to the normies, you know.
There were a lot of former executives at Sony who did seem to be pretty tapped into the consumer. And again, it doesn't mean that they were doing everything was like absolutely consumer friendly. But I think of like Sean Layden and Shu mm-hmm. Yoshida, like they're pretty connected to how the general consumer is feeling. And now it's like, well, who has that connection, or where yeah. are they getting their information? Because I get it. Like if you're just some businessman and you're just like looking at the charts, it's like, well, you know, there's reports saying, all right, a physical disc costs $6.50 for us to make. We have to ship that. We have to give our retailer a cut. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking ahead to the PlayStation 6. That's going to be expensive. What if we just took the disk drive out of that?
Yeah.
That's a way to solve that problem. I don't have to worry about the GameStops and eBays and mom and pop stores selling my games where I don't get to wet my beak on that. So it's like, yeah, I get those data points are there, but that is not the whole story.
Right. Right.
That's not how you run a business.
And you don't have anyone speaking for the whole story anymore because they're gone. Those people are not there to kind of lend their perspective to that.
Yeah, that was something that would often come up. And, you know, there was no one person at Nintendo who had this role, but it was like the voice of the consumer.
Yes.
Was something that would get brought up a lot and would get very serious consideration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So as you know, we've seen, and as you've personally have been going through, the reaction is quite dark and fueled by a lot of sadness and disappointment and anger. And people are not happy about what is happening at all. And it looks like there's also the removal of already purchased movies from right. owner's library, which is another wrinkle to add on top of, which is the big fear that people that love physical always talk about with people that have moved to digital. It's like, well, you don't actually own any of that. And if they decide to snap their fingers and take it away from you, they can do that. And, yeah, and that's so actually happening right now.
When this happened, it, you know, all of the usual arguments started coming out of like, think of preservation or what happens when you shut down the servers. You know, not a small thing, like bundled with this announcement, they're like, yo, and we're turning off the PlayStation 3 store as well. So it's like, cool, you're just giving us a glimpse into what's going to happen 20 years with the PS5. And then also like the very, you know, I always thought that was a very out there thing of like, well, they can just take things, they'll just take things away for you. I always put that in the realm of like Nintendo's breaking Switch 2s. It's like, I don't know about that. But then this did just happen. So there are over 500 movies that people could buy on the PlayStation Store. And they, if they wanted to watch those, they got this notice that said, as of September 1st, 2026, due to our content licensing arrangements, you will no longer be able to watch any of your previously purchased Studio Canal content, and the content will be removed from your video library. Thank you, PlayStation Store. Play has no limits.
Well, it does have a limit.
No, it's just gone.
It's gone.
What?
And there is a limit. Because you don't get
it. We've reached our limit, I think.
This is the limit.
We're not playing around anymore.
Oh, man. That's rough. That's rough on the back of this. It's like, not only did you take away this physical thing, but you basically realize everyone's worst fear.
Now you have given us a proof point for the worst case scenario.
Worst case scenario. Yeah.
Again, to this point, I had been like, that, I don't know, that's pretty out there. I'm not sure that's going to happen. And then they just did it. So it's like, we actually do have to be serious about this. And now so many games have like, you know, music or like, oh, we got a licensed car or something. Like, I don't know. Like, does that mean things will just, you know, normally those had just gone off of storefronts, but who knows? Maybe there's a future where those things just go away.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very, it's very true. And it's proven here to be very possible as well. So yes, the worst fear that people had of, you know, digital being something that you're almost like lending for a undisclosed amount of time and can be taken away from you at any time is very much a reality.
So yes, we've gone through the reasons why, from a business sense, just a cold business sense, they would want to do it. But like the thing I keep bumping up against is, you know, of all the entertainment mediums, gaming is the newest, but they seem to be rushing the fastest to eliminate the physical option. Whereas all these other things, where you have very similar digital adoption levels, it's like, I can still buy a Blu-ray. I can still buy a CD. I can still buy a vinyl. A vinyl record was like going out of style like by the time I was born. So it's fascinating that has
retro
come up as this like popular, you know, true music head kind of an option. You can buy a newspaper.
You can.
You can literally buy a newspaper. The oldest thing that
we
have.
The written word, the printed word.
The thing that you would think would have been the first to go. It's like, no, there are still people out there. Like, I have value in getting my daily paper.
The books, physical books. Yeah, there's a lot.
And we won't be able to buy a video game.
Yeah.
And, you know, the reason those things exist is not out of the goodness of people's hearts, but it's like there is some business opportunity there. And for PlayStation, like that is the 15% right there, who I think is very willing to spend good money on physical games. So, you know, I look at what Nintendo just did in pricing their games differently, physical or digital. It's like, why don't we just have, it's like, okay, something needs to change. Let's make the physical games much more of something you will want to collect.
Yes.
Like really go all out in making the packaging for that cool. Put something like, God forbid, a manual in there. really make it something premium. And sure, it's like you charge more. Definitely charge more than digital for that. I think a lot of people would be down for that. But now we're not even going to get that option. So again, it's like you have just rushed to the, oh my God, we must make as much money as possible as quickly as possible and just forget any other option or scenario.
Yeah, I do wonder if this is a disconnect. I mean, to us, it seems very logical and very like kind of a no-duh solution. But I wonder if like the big business people over there just haven't made that connection that like, the physical game is not a utility. It's not just like, yes, I mean, it's nice for you to buy it and play the game. Like, that's fine. But it's so much more than that. For the person that's buying the digital game, it's not the utility of buying it just for the sake of playing the game. But it's such like more of a collector's thing. So if they had just embraced that and like went all in on the collector side of it, they could probably make a lot of money. Like, yes, do the physical version that's very like upscale and more of a collector's edition. Charge $100 for it. These physical people will actually be happy to give you the $100. I think they would not bulk at that price.
And there are companies out there who cater to that audience. I'm talking about like Limited Run or Fangamer or IM8Bit. Guess what? Sony control, like, so if you want to make a disc, you have to do that through Sony. So by them shutting that down, like, they're effectively, I don't know, I don't want to say that they're putting them out of business, but they're fundamentally changing their business by making that go away.
Yeah, exactly.
There is no other way to make a PlayStation disc that is not through PlayStation right now.
That sucks. Maybe there's a way they could like let those companies do it for them.
We're bootlegging PlayStation discs now or what?
Yeah, bootlegging. That would be awesome. I mean,
Sony created the Blu-ray. This is the medium that they created.
They made this.
And medium. They're still making for movies. So it's not like, oh, they didn't have a way to do it or that it was beyond their means. Like, no, they made this thing.
I know. That's really rough because that's something that people really love. And there's been a lot of statements that have come out from Fangamer and IM8Bit and Limited Run saying that they are still very dedicated to doing this and trying whatever. I trust that they will try whatever methodology and way that is out there to continue on to service these fans that want this type of physical good. So hopefully they find a solution somehow. But it is really unfortunate that like the big business people just fail to make that connection, which seems pretty obvious that like there is totally a market for this particular audience and you can monetize that market. It's like they will pay the premium price and maybe there'll be a little bit of grumbles, but they will literally buy it. So if you're 15% is paying 15% extra for the physical thing, like why not make money off of it?
Yeah. And to take that further, you know, those 15% probably make up some of your most passionate and engaged customers. And again, like to the basics of running a business, like is it great business to piss off
alienate them?
Your best, most invested customers?
Yeah,
I guess it is.
Yeah, it's very short sighted because that's what I'm saying. Like in the beginning, I was like, well, that's going to come back to bite you eventually because you're going to need that 15% one day. It's cyclical. This business is very cyclical. One day you're going to need that 15%, and they won't be there because you just alienated them by doing this terrible thing.
So we have different opinions on physical games where you have mostly become an all digital person. But I am very interested to get your feelings on this as somebody who is not really going to be directly impacted in this. But it does feel like there will be some ripple effects for everybody.
Yeah. Like for me, it's very well known that I've really moved to an all digital a pretty long time ago. So I'm pretty used to, just getting all my stuff digitally. And yes, there was like a little bit of a looming fear about like, oh, they can take it away at any time and you won't have it anymore. Like I'm also very, once I play something once, I kind of don't ever want to go back to it again, really. Like I don't have that sense of like, oh, in 10 years, I'm definitely going to want to play, 007 First Light again. Hope that's still there and, whatever. Like I'm not that kind of person. So for me, the sort of the personal effects is quite like low for me. So that's, good, I guess. But I do feel for you guys, like the physical people. Like I feel like they should just give people the option. Like why not give people the option? Especially because there is a business there and a way for you to have a very viable portion of your business that can make you money if you just look at this in a different way and give people the option. Like, I just don't understand why that is such like a hard thing for them to understand. So yeah, for me, like while it's not impacting me, day to day, I do feel like this is a very bad decision. And I feel like taking away the option and just sort of like completely alienating the segment of your fan base is like really dumb and really stupid and very unnecessary. So
yeah. It is something that I'm passionate about, but there is a part of me that does feel very like fatalistic about it, where it's like, yeah, every year that digital share gets bigger for everybody. And we'll get to Nintendo in a little bit. And it's like, yes, if you have that disc, you can always play it. But then it's like, all right, in 30 years, is this PlayStation still going to work? Are there still going to be any PlayStations that can play this disc that I have held up? My Wii U is already toast, and that's not even an old piece of hardware. And so it's like, okay, well, then I actually have nothing to play it on, and soon enough, I'll just be dead. So do go to some very dark places, but I think for the here and now, it's worth fighting for.
Yeah, yeah. Options are always better than no options. People want choices.
Yeah,
just give it to them if you can do it, you know?
And I do go back to this very cold message that they put out. And it's like, at some point, they're going to have to say something else about this and how this gets implemented, or somebody's going to have to do an interview with somebody and it's going to come up. And it's like, is there anything that they're going to roll out to? I don't think they're changing their minds on this.
No, I don't.
I think they've got this figured out because again, I think the PS6 is going to be all digital. You know, I think the best olive branch they could do is like, okay, fine, we'll keep it open for PS5 games. Even that, I think, is a pipe dream.
Or maybe they do commit to like, okay, like we will continue working with these outside partners to produce very limited collector's editions.
Right. But you know, I think actually Nintendo has been a good innovator in terms of introducing new things that help the value of digital games, help address some of those concerns that people have. So virtual game cards. They're actually kind of neat. They have their limitations. You can only share like one game at a time with one person, but can you do that on a PS5? Like,
I don't think so.
I don't think you can. So to the concern of like, I can't share a game. Well, you actually can do that.
Mm-hmm.
They've done away with them. But remember when Nintendo had vouchers?
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh yeah, if you're going to be digital, you know, we're going to cut you a break. And you can get some of these games cheaper, or now the different pricing scale that they have. It's like, what is the PlayStation take on this? Or is it just deal with it, loser?
I think it's deal with it, loser, which is terrible.
You have to have some sort of an olive branch here. I just don't see a scenario where like that, this is the final word and that's it. Yeah. I just don't think that's going to fly.
Yeah.
Another thought that I had is like, it's never been harder to try a game that you're interested in.
It is. It's very, you know, it's a very expensive endeavor to try anything these days.
Unless a game has a demo, and these days, like these developments are so long and so fraught, it's like, oh my gosh, we need every second to actually make the game and we don't have time to make a demo. You just kind of have to take a leap of faith on something that maybe you're iffy on. And in the future, it's like, okay, I can't borrow a game from somebody. Mm-hmm. I can't get a used game. I can't get it on the cheap to kind of defray some of my
concerns. Wait for it to go on sale in a digital store.
So it's like,
maybe?
I don't know. You're at a time where you're asking people to take a big risk on games that are increasingly costing more money, but you are doing less to help them get over that hump. So again, like to the point of they need to do something. That's the kind of thing, the consumer behavior, they need to anticipate and find some sort of solution for. This is not really going to work out.
Yeah, long term, they're going to have some issues. Short term, they may see some, you know, cost savings or something, but long term is going to be a problem.
And I don't know. And again, a lot of it is just due to the shock and dismay of this news. But it's like, who's interested in a PlayStation 6 actually?
Who can afford a PlayStation 6
right now? It's like, it's going
right
to be.
Now. That's a question.
It's going to be over $1,000.
Yeah, who can afford this?
Remember when the PlayStation 5, the big innovation was, oh, we've improved load times.
Yeah.
It's like, whatever innovation they're thinking of for the PlayStation 6 is probably going to be even more underwhelming.
It's going to be so microscopic.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, it's not coming. Okay,
more power.
But it's like, I don't know.
What are you going to do?
It's hard to get excited for that when again, it's like it feels like there's so much more that you can do on a PS5. So it just doesn't.
It's tough.
It just doesn't feel good looking into the future. And one other thing I wanted to say was, like, it is interesting kind of reflecting on this and my own feelings around stuff like emulation, which, you know, if people have been following along, like, at Nintendo, it was like, oh, emulation is bad, don't do this. But then I do think of this, you know, this world where it's like, these games are unavailable in this format, hardware is obsolete. It's like, what other option are people going to have? And I still think that, like, people use emulation as a crutch just for piracy. But in terms of these really old games, again, like, you know, play it out into the future, that might be the only solution.
Bootleg the discs?
I don't know.
Do it.
I don't know, because it just seems like these companies are entirely uninterested in addressing that problem. Again, probably because there's no real business reason to
very small minority of that.
We can do NSO where we have, you know, dozens of the greatest hits on that platform. But if you want to go any deeper, I don't know. What can you do? So it actually has made me kind of think more deeply about that kind of thing, which is interesting. So Nintendo, that's kind of been a popular topic of like, all right, this is happening here. It's kind of already happened for Xbox. Like, are they the next domino to fall again? I do wonder, like, does this change how you feel about game key cards?
Well, I should ask you if it changes how you feel about game key cards, because I don't care.
I feel like game key cards are kind of a different thing, where, again, it is a physical option, but it doesn't address a lot of the concerns.
Yeah, you still don't own the game fully, which is a concern.
You can share it, you can sell it back. So it's kind of like a half measure.
A half step, yeah.
I've seen a lot of people elevate it. It's like, oh, game key card's not so bad now. It's like, that's kind of over there. That's kind of something
It's else. Still just a piece of useless plastic.
Yeah, though, so again, right? It's like, I still prefer not to get a game key card, but I have bought a few, and it's like, it's fine. It's like, and I feel like the rage over game key cards has kind of softened.
Subsided.
As more people have, honestly, like with some games, been forced to buy it and mm-hmm. try it, whether with Pacopia or these Final Fantasy games, and just kind of like come to grips with what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
So Nintendo's digital adoption rate is a lot lower than PlayStation's, but it is growing, and it's now over 50%. And it's one of those things where every year it does get a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we do have to ask ourselves the question of Nintendo is also, are we looking down the long road of eventually they will make this change as well?
Yeah. I think it's really hard to say. And it depends on sort of what timeline you want to talk about. I think in the short term, no. I would say for the Switch 2 generation, probably not, but I would not bet my life on it.
Uh-oh.
I would. Yeah,
I go back to, and we should really talk to Mysterious Trainer Mike again, because Mysterious Trainer Mike, as much as we like to joke around about him, was instrumental in basically creating the process, the marketing, kind of all the things for the eShop. And really making that, you know, the digital storefront, you know, the gift cards where you can buy the codes in retail. Like he did all of that stuff for Nintendo. And I just keep going back to the sense of almost like wonder the company had, that sort of that enamored, like, oh my gosh, this digital storefront. This has really opened our eyes to this new world. And you saw dollar signs in those eyes. They were seeing like the true, you know, that sort of cold corporate benefit that Sony sees when they look at how much more money they're making off of a digital game, the ease of a digital storefront, you know, the things that they don't have to deal with anymore with a digital storefront. And like these other things that they've done, like having a gift card or whatever to address like retail presence, you know, that was a big moment for Nintendo. And they really, I from my perspective, at least, it really felt like in that moment, they were like, this is how we modernize. So I also agree with you that it's really hard to say. Like Nintendo definitely very much values their audience and the way that their audience engages with them. And they know that their audience loves physical games. They also really value their retail presence, but you know, there's other ways to get retail presence. So I don't know. It does feel like that reality of everybody going all digital is more real than ever now. So I'm like you, I'm not betting my life, even Nintendo, maybe the last bastion, you know, to fall kind of thing. They may go down this road in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I think the recent pricing split is a good indicator and does suggest that unlike Sony, they're more likely to go down that path of like, yeah, we have a super premium option. It's not going to be cheap, but we will have it.
Right, right, right.
But yeah, like the costs are rising. The cost of making a Switch 2 game card is a lot more than the $650 for a PS5 disc. So when I don't know about the Switch 2 generation, I do ask myself, like, is there some point in time where it's like, yeah, you can get it physical, but it's going to be a game key card for everything.
Yeah.
And that way they can still have all the physical presence. You know, you're still getting the card, but they're saving that money, which for just seems like the prices of the memory that goes into these things is going to keep going up. And I keep going back to like, you know, the rationale on, you know, of what we think Rockstar is like, hey, you can't take one of those out of a warehouse and leak your gameplay of GTA 6 because it's a code in a box. You also can't do that with a game key card. And they really, really, really care about leaks. I think that would be kind of a secondary benefit.
Yeah.
But it's still kind of a big benefit if you are Nintendo.
Yeah.
This thing's going to be locked down until the day that it actually releases and we say you can play it.
Yeah. Yeah, even little things like, oh my gosh, here's a cover art, here's a box in a store in a box in the back room. Like they hate that kind of stuff. So yeah, to be able to eliminate that risk is a very positive like check mark in the category for Nintendo. And we were just talking about too, like it's not just the rising cost of producing a physical thing, it's like the compounded cost of everything. Like making a game is more expensive. Nintendo just talked about how building that new development facility is costing them $750 million. Then you have to fill it with people and pay them. And you have to invest in whatever thing you're making in there. So $750 million just to build the thing is like a drop in the bucket compared to the coming costs for doing this. And you know, they're raising the price of Switch 2. I don't think that $50 is really doing much to make them profitable on hardware because the components are just way too expensive. Like they got to get their money back somehow. But out of all of the companies, I do think, you know, Nintendo is likely to hold on to some kind of physical something, but it may be, you know, a $200 collector's edition and it only may be for some games.
Yeah.
In the future.
So. Yeah. So again, like it's a very hard question to answer. But I don't think it's a slam dunk. No. With all of this, it just, and it feels like since Summer Game Fest, we've had bad news every single day. It just feels like the industry overall is on the cusp of having to come up with some new business models to really address what it means to make these kinds of video games today. And that's probably a topic for another video, but it's like, I don't know if any one of these things that are happening, I don't know if that really solves the inherent issues that we have. So I think that's worth talking about down the road.
Yeah. For as long as I can think back now, when we started having these like major industry problems, it feels like every solution has been like, let's band-aid over this particular leak.
Yeah, or let's do something that's purely to the benefit of us as the company.
Yeah, but it's like a very like one-sided solution, or it's a very temporary solution that doesn't look at the long-term repercussions of what the future could hold if you make a decision like this. But it doesn't address like the very deeply ingrained issues of what has happened to the games industry. And it's a thing that kind of happened that maybe took us all by surprise a little bit. Like, it's like all of a sudden you're like, wait, how did we get here? And it's like, you really have to like pull yourself out of the moment to like really examine like, how did we get here? And like, is this the right place to be? Cause it doesn't feel like it with everything that's bad that's happening. Certainly doesn't feel like this is the right place for this industry to be and to be headed. So yeah, all of the stuff about the physical games is kind of another one of those like band-aid-y situation or, you know, solutions that the big corporation came up with to solve something, you know, getting our money back. It's too expensive, whatever. But is it really going to be a viable solution long term? I don't know the answer to that, and I don't think it is, you know. So anyhow, not great news, obviously. I know that there is a lot of opinions and a lot of feelings and emotions out there. So be kind in the comments, everyone. How do you feel after just like talking about it for a little bit?
Me?
Yes, you.
I feel terrible.
Mr. Physical, you.
I feel absolutely terrible.
You feel terrible. Thanks for asking. You're in stunned silence.
I am.
This whole thing.
It's
okay.
A terrible thing. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll let you, you know, fetal position in the corner for the rest of the day. And yeah, we'll get through it somehow. Anyways, talk to you guys later. Bye.